If our concept of the last days is really that it's a Christian idea invented by Jesus, the God of the Christians, that involves Jewish people as a means to an end, then we're missing what the scriptures actually say from Genesis onward. The idea of the last days, the Acharit HaYamim, are actually something that God prepared the children of Israel to have to walk through from the beginning of their existence as a people.
Welcome to A Jew and a Gentile Discuss. I'm your co-host, Carly Berna.
And I'm Ezra Benjamin.
We're a Jew and a Gentile who both believe in Jesus and believe that there's value in looking at history as well as today's world in the headlines through both a Jewish and a Christian lens.
Just a heads up before we dive into our topic today, Carly, you know, A Jew and a Gentile Discuss is listener supported, and we want to give you, our listeners, an opportunity at the end of this program to get more involved. So stay tuned for those details. Let's discuss.
Today we're continuing our Israel mini-series where we're talking about everything that's been going on in Israel and what that means for Christians and Jews around the world. Today specifically we're going to talk about what's happened in Israel since October 7th and what that means in regards to the end times. This is kind of part two of an episode we did previously a couple of weeks ago. If you missed that, check it out, where we talk about what is the end times from a Christian and a Jewish perspective. So today we're talking specifically about what's happening in Israel and how that relates to the end times.
Right. So October 7th happened, Carly, right? Like, people wake up if you're in the States, and whatever news channel you're watching, everybody's phone is blowing up. And it was, as we recall, it was what we would say, you know, it says in the Gospels, the last and greatest day of the feast. So it's the end of the celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles. It's Sukkot in Israel. Not only is it the last day of that week of celebrating and dwelling in booths, it's also a Shabbat. So, right, like, it's a rest day and celebration day of rest days and celebration days, right? Or at least it's supposed to, but it wasn't that way. And we wake up in the States. My wife is from Israel, and she wakes up and she has all these notes from friends and family blowing up her phone. There's war in Israel. Israel's about to declare war. Terrorists have attacked. People are murdered. We don't know what's going on. The border with Gaza is breached. All these crazy things. And so very quickly, right, in the days that follow, we know there's a war on in Israel. Everybody listens to Bibi Netanyahu saying, this is war and we won't stop until Hamas is no more, right? And we start to learn of the scope and the horrendousness of the atrocities committed by Hamas terrorists, men against these families, men, women, innocent children, all over Israel. And all of a sudden, Syria says, now we're going to jump on the bandwagon, right? And Lebanon says, with Hezbollah, not the whole nation of Lebanon, but the terrorist cell called, or the terrorist regime called Hezbollah that controls a part of Lebanon, says, we're marching on Jerusalem and we're attacking Israel too. And Egypt's not sure where they stand. And Erdogan, the head of the nation of Turkey, says, we condemn Israel and Hamas is not terrorists, they're freedom fighters. And all the nations of the world start to get excited on one side of things or the other, right? The U.S. took her stand with Israel. You know, I'm proud of President Biden, really, actually, it was one of the best speeches I've ever heard him give, taking a stand to condemn terrorism against Israel and the Jewish people and saying we're standing with Israel. But very quickly, this thing that happens in the land of Israel escalates into this international crisis, right? It's like it's enveloping all the nations of the earth. And so within the Christian communities, very quickly, we got questions, you know, Jewish Voice got questions. We got questions in the podcast. Other, you know, people are asking their pastors, is this the end?
Yeah.
Right? Like, and I say it now kind of tongue in cheek. It wasn't that funny on October 8, 9, 10.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, what caused us to start to ask those questions when there was an issue in Israel and when all the nations started to get involved in it? So mm-hmm. I think first we got to talk about, what do we mean when we say the end times? And is this a Christian idea? Is it a Jewish idea? Should it be one or the other? Is it actually both? So I guess, Carly, when you know, sitting in the seat of the American evangelical community, right? When you hear the last days or the end times, what are some things that come to mind?
Yeah. First, I want to say it's so interesting because as soon as that happened, like you said, what happened for you and your wife when you woke up and saw that.
Sure.
For Christians and even some secular media outlets, they're asking, is this the end times? So even if they don't fully understand it,
right,
they know that Israel is somehow related to the end times.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
People don't want to deal with the Israel issue, right?
Yeah.
It's complex. It's politically incorrect. Do we really bring that up in a faith environment? Do we really bring it up in the media? And then all of a sudden, the Jewish people are attacked. There's war on in Israel. And everybody goes, is this the end?
Right.
Right. So what's the deal with that? Like,
yeah.
What's going on under the surface in terms of things that maybe are commonly understood about the end times, especially in a Christian environment?
Yeah.
And no matter how cynical people may be against the idea of Jesus being Lord or Messiah or against the tenets of the faith, Christian faith, Jewish believers in Jesus, all of a sudden there's a crisis on earth and everybody goes, is this the end?
Yeah.
Well, I thought you didn't even believe in God. So if you don't believe in God, why would you believe in the end?
Right.
But everybody quickly goes there. So
What
are the things you think of?
Yeah, I think most Christians think generally of wars and rumors of wars, you know, illnesses, earthquakes, all sorts of disastrous things like that.
Right.
And of course, something will happen with Israel.
Right.
Like, it's not super, I would say everyone doesn't agree on what that thing is, but every time Israel is involved, there's a feeling of, is this the end?
Right. Yeah. And you use the word illness, right? The biblical word, like pestilence,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
It sounds much more severe, right?
Yeah.
Where there's a pestilence, but illness, right? Like widespread illness, all the things you mentioned, the wars and rumors of wars, right? Nation rising against nation, earthquakes, that language, 100% of what you just said are things that Jesus himself says.
Right.
In the 20s, you know, of Matthew, chapter 23, 24, 25. We'll talk about a couple of those specific verses in a minute. But Jesus is saying, here's the signs of the times, basically. When you see these things, you should know that the end is near. And actually, and we'll unpack this more in a moment, he says, these are just, I'll quote the verse in case you're going, what are you talking about? It's in Matthew 24, actually 4 through 8. And it talks about wars and rumors of wars, false messiahs, right?
Yeah.
People coming from here and they're saying, I'm the Messiah. I'm the, in Hebrew, we say the Mashiach, which means the anointed one, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And many people following those deceptive people who are claiming to be the Savior, even though they're not. And the wars and rumors of wars. And then he says this, he says, but see that you're not alarmed because these things must happen, but the end is still to come, and then nation rising against nation. That's what it seemed like was happening on the days following October 7th, right? That's one of the things. Okay, this isn't a multinational conflict centered around Israel. Is this the end? And it said there will be famines and earthquakes. Well, we could look multiple places in the world, right, where there's earthquakes and famines going on. And there were some earthquakes in the week after October 7th, which was also kind of like, you know, what's going on here? Is this? But then Jesus ends this passage this way. In verse 8 of chapter 24, he says, all these things are the beginning of birth pangs. So Jesus is using birth language. I have not born a child and I don't plan to, but there are people on the earth who have, right? And one of the things we understand is that in this process, right, you have like the contractions and then you have the birth pains and it starts out not so bad and it gets over a period of time. It could be minutes, it could be hours, it could be days, right? Gradually, more and more and more intense, more and more and more severe, and then something is born, right? Like all of a sudden, something that didn't exist, at least not outwardly visible to the eye, is suddenly manifested. So that's the language Jesus is using when he's talking about how should we think about the end times. And he says all these things, I mean, like these are not small things, right? Like earthquakes, famines, multinational wars, conflict in Israel. We'll talk more in a moment about specific things related to Israel and the Jewish people. And we go, okay, that's really bad. It must be the end. And Jesus says, no, these are just the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Like this is when the woman says, I think my water broke and we should probably go to the hospital.
Yeah.
So to put October 7th in perspective, and then we'll come back to some basics about how we think about the idea of end times or last days and what do we even mean and where those ideas come from. To put October 7th in perspective, we saw some nations rising against some nations. We saw some degree of trouble in Israel. That's not to minimize, and let's like be super clear for our audience. It's not to minimize the 1,200-something deaths that happened that day in Israel, and it's not to minimize the thousands and thousands of deaths of innocent people in the territory of Gaza who have been killed because they've been used as human shields while Israel's trying to deal with a terrorist regime called Hamas, who cares nothing for the people that they're leading, right? But those things were impactful. They were severe. They were certainly startling to mankind, right? And they caught the attention within hours of the entire world. And yet, in the perspective of what Jesus says has to happen in the end, you know, the last days of the end times, we ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah.
So I think that that was something that was helpful maybe in the, you know, in October 8, 9, 10 into the teens of October, where people are going, is this the end? We could look back at kind of anchor passages in the scriptures like this and say, no, in perspective, this was really bad. But if we think this is all that's going to happen, we're probably wearing a lot of rose-colored glasses.
Yeah. And I would say coming out of coronavirus,
right,
that was also a time where people were
estimates,
at. Yes, exactly.
Right? And again, not to people.
Yes,
Corona
it was terrible.
Corona was a really bad 3 years. But
then we go from 3 years of that into Israel.
Right.
So according to this verse, you're saying this is just the beginning.
Sure.
But where are we kind of in the timeline? Like, you know, I imagine you have this perfect laid out timeline that God's given you, and you know exactly where we are and how much longer.
It's direct personal revelation, and
yeah,
it's available
he
for sale.
He sends you an email.
Totally. No,
yeah.
We should go to the scriptures that everybody has.
Yes.
But one of the questions is, when, and we didn't exactly say it explicitly yet, but we should, because I think for a Christian audience, this informs how we think about the last days. So like what's, right? Contractions, birth pangs, use Jesus's language. What's the birth? Like, what's the big event with the last days?
Yeah, Jesus returning.
Okay, good. So Jesus returns, and we can say the Messiah, the Savior of the world, comes again, right? And we see that very clearly in the scriptures. That's sort of the culminating event, right? So when people say, is this the last days from a Christian perspective, they're asking, are we close to the return of Jesus?
Right.
Right? Which
right.
is sort of this mixed bag. This would take hours to unpack, right? But of excitement, like, yes, our Lord and Savior is coming back, and
yeah,
we can't wait to behold him face to face. And then also this idea that, like, we see a number of times in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and Jesus makes it clear, like, it's a great day of the Lord, but it's also a terrible day of the Lord, right? Like, he's judging his enemies. A passage we don't like to talk about a lot is the idea that Jesus actually comes to murder his enemies.
Mm.
Like it says, nations will rise against Israel, right?
Yeah.
But then in the end, he will tread the blood of his enemies like you stomp down grapes in a wine press. Well, that's not Jesus meek and mild that I remember
yeah.
hearing about, right? But there's these all these passages where we go, we think we want this, but we're a little bit afraid of it because we don't truly understand it. More on that maybe in some other episodes on the specific details of the last days. But then, like you said at the top of the episode, there's these continual references about Israel and the Jewish people. And I think one of the problems is if we understand the idea or the concept of the last days as something that Jesus talks about from nowhere, right? Like all of a sudden, I'm coming back and that's going to be really bad before it happens, but don't worry, I'm coming. So now from nothing in history, we have this idea of the last days.
Yeah, which is interesting because if you listen to the last episode, I was shocked to learn that it talks about the last days
right.
in the Old Testament.
Totally. There's this idea, and we'll say it again, if you didn't listen to that episode, you should listen to that kind of before you listen to this, because we'll fly through a couple things that you'll want to understand more deeply. But there's this phrase in Hebrew, acharit hayamim. And acharit is not just the end. Like the word in Hebrew for end is sof. Like the transliteration S-O-F, like that's the end of the film, or that's the end of this podcast episode. We've run out of time. We
mm-hmm.
haven't yet, thankfully.
Yeah.
Have a few more things to cover, right? That's just like it's the end because it's over. But acharit in Hebrew is a certain predetermined end which must come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like this expected, pre-constructed end. And hayamim, that second word, is just of days or the days. So acharit hayamim is this predetermined, expected end of days that must come to pass. And we actually, Carly, see it as early as the last chapters of the book of Genesis.
Yeah.
So Jacob is blessing the 12 tribes. We talked about this last time. And he says, I'll tell you what must surely befall you in acharit hayamim, in the last days. And in English, I think the translators maybe didn't know what to do with that. So they just said, in the days to come or in those days, but literally in Hebrew, it's talking about this expected end.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, Moses talks about it at the end of the Torah. So the last book in the Torah, first five books of the Bible, is Deuteronomy. And in the last few chapters, he says, I want to tell you what's going to happen to you, Israel. They've already been delivered from slavery in Egypt. Joshua is about to bring them in the promised land. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great and terrible. And he says, but make no mistake, I need to tell you what happens to you in the acharit hayamim. I need to tell you what certainly is going to come to pass. in the expected end that I've already determined. Mm-hmm. And it says this, that nations will rise against you in judgment because I'm judging you. But the nations will overstep their bounds and judge you more than I in my magnificent loving kindness have allowed. And then I'll judge the nations for judging you. So what's my point? Sometimes in the Christian world, right, Christian Zionism is awesome in the sense of defending Israel's biblical right to the land. Like, that's great.
Yeah.
If you don't know what we're talking about, you can Google it. You'll find a lot on Christian Zionism. But that's basically what it means, is this idea in Christian thought that Israel is the eternal promised land given to the children of Israel, and that their unfaithfulness throughout history hasn't negated the faithfulness of God in making this promise that he says is forever. And we see it, right? The modern state of Israel is sort of like this down payment, not the whole thing, on God keeping his promise to regather the outcasts of Israel back to the land of Israel. Mm-hmm. So that's Christian Zionism. But where we can go astray, or where it can kind of go off the rails, is this idea then, okay, God's regathering the Jewish people, and now they're back in the land, and we're going to pay for them to move back to make Aliyah, and we're going to fund ministries that do that because we want to be a part of the prophetic restoration of Israel. And yeah, we see in the scriptures that it's going to be really bad for them, and that there's going to be an anti-Messiah, an Antichrist, and 2/3 of the inhabitants of Israel will be cut off. Zechariah says that, and half of the people in Jerusalem will be raped and pillaged. Zechariah says that too. But, you know, it's all going to be okay because Jesus is coming back.
Yeah.
So that's where if our concept of the last days is really that it's a Christian idea invented by Jesus, the God of the Christians, that involves Jewish people as a means to an end or a pawn on a chessboard, then we're missing what the scriptures actually say from Genesis onward. So here's our big crazy idea, that if you don't believe me, like, read the scriptures, check it out for yourself. If you conclude that I'm wrong, please write to us and tell me. But here's what I see in this big, thick book, Old and New Testament, that the idea of the last days, the Acharit HaYamim, are actually something that God prepared the children of Israel to have to walk through from the beginning of their existence as a people. And Jesus is showing up not to invent last days, but to say, here's the signs you can see to know that what Moses and the prophets told you is going to happen is happening, mm-hmm. so that you're not surprised, so that you're not unprepared, and so that you're not offended at God for the difficult ways that he has to bring his plans and purposes mm-hmm. to pass. Right? Jesus is speaking to a Jewish audience primarily in the Gospels, saying, here's the signs. He's not saying, I'm gonna invent something right now and this is how it's going to go. He's saying, here's the signs you can look at to know when these things that you already heard are going to happen are happening.
Yeah. Ezra, I'm really curious what your perspective is just explaining that, because you're right. As sure. a Christian or a Gentile, we right. do look at the end times and say, okay, yeah, all these things have to happen. Yeah, I want to help Israel, whatever. Yeah, it's all about Jesus coming back.
Right.
But for someone who is a Jewish believer in Jesus, who's also looking forward to Jesus coming back, but also understanding all the turmoil and devastation that has to happen to your own people,
right.
how do you view the end times? Is it with anticipation or dread, or like what does that feel like?
Yeah, it's both, you know, like two Jews, three opinions, right?
Yeah.
So like one Jewish believer, two feelings happening at once.
Yeah.
And why do I say that? I think we can see that in, it's this passage, right? This is days before Yeshua, before Jesus dies for the atonement for the sins of man, right? The lost sheep of the house of Israel and all who would believe on him, okay? And he goes up to the Mount of Olives and he's looking over the city and he starts grieving. And he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kills the prophets and you stone those who are sent to you. And he says, I've longed so many times to gather you under my wings like a mother hen gathers her chicks, right? So the way that I wanted to do this, Israel, was to care tenderly for you. And then he says, but you weren't willing. In essence, you refused me doing this the easy way where you could primarily experience my loving kindness. And he says, so I tell you the truth, you're not going to see me again until you cry. And it's this great messianic claim, actually, from the Psalms, this great messianic declaration, excuse me, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, which means blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And it's this declaration that Israel learned to say when you see the Messiah coming. So the idea of a Messiah in Jewish thought, if you believe God exists and you believe this book is not just a historical storybook about the Jewish people, that it's actually written by God through Moses and the prophets, then you believe in the idea of a Messiah, like an anointed one, a Mashiach who will come to atone for the sins of Israel and to really to restore the kingdom to Israel. But how does that happen? We're not so sure. And I think the challenge is the idea of the last days for Christians, excuse me, for the Jewish community is also relegated as a Christian idea because we don't know our own book. So when we hear last days, we think, ah, the Christians are talking about the return of Jesus and they must not really care about us because they acknowledge a bunch of difficult, terrible things that have to happen to us, but for them, it's all a means to an end. We're pawns on the chessboard.
Yeah.
Okay? So I think the Jewish community, by and large, doesn't necessarily we engage with the idea of the days of the Messiah. It's sort of this utopian idea, like even Orthodox, you know, Daddy, why is there killing in the world? Well, son, when the Mashiach comes, when the Messiah comes, he'll set all of this right, right? It's this great messianic expectation, but we don't know how we're going to get there. And the idea of it being attached to the last days is really foreign in Jewish thought, right? And on the other side of the line, the Christian community is going, yeah, Jesus is coming back. It's going to be bad for Israel, but Jesus is coming back. So we have this great divide. And so then, to finally answer your question, you have Jewish believers going, just like Jesus said, we see in the scriptures, like Zechariah has glorious moments, but it's an ugly situation in Isaiah 12, 13, and 14. Right? Like it clearly says, I mean, we're talking about 1,200 people on 1,200 some murdered on October 7th, right? And there's national mourning. There's grief throughout Israel. Zechariah tells us that in the Acharit HaYamim, before the return, before the great and terrible day of the Lord, okay, so before the return of Yeshua, Jesus, 2/3 of the inhabitants of the land of Israel have to be cut off. So let's not like use fancy language. Cut off is they're going to be murdered.
Yeah.
They're going to die. So 1,200 some national outcry and weeping. Now multiply that, there's 6 million, just over 6 million Jewish people currently living in the land of Israel. So let's imagine in the course of a year, a couple of years, 4 million are killed. Like it's not going to be easy. So to talk about it is, yeah, that has to happen. But you know, Jesus comes back.
Yeah.
Is to ignore, one, the suffering of the Jewish people, but also to ignore what I feel like is a picture into the heart of Jesus in that passage we read in Matthew 25, right? Like Jesus is weeping, he's grieved over Jerusalem, right? You see like the heart of the Father manifests through Jesus, the God of Israel in a body there. And he's saying, I longed that we could have done this the easy way, but your unbelief and your stubborn-heartedness and your stiff-neckedness made it impossible. Because every messenger I sent you, you ignored. More than you ignored, you killed them for the message that they brought. And so Jesus is saying, I'm going to come back when you recognize who I am, but what it's going to take for there to be a national recognition of Jesus as the Messiah, not the God of the Christians, but the one the builders rejected who's actually the chief cornerstone. And Zechariah talks about that too, right? It says, we as a Jewish believer. So the people of Israel, the Jewish people, will look on the one we've pierced. Interesting language, isn't it? Right? Isaiah 53 language. He was pierced for our transgressions. We'll look on the one we've pierced, and it says we'll mourn for him like one mourns for an only son. Also interesting language, like one mourns for an only begotten son. And then it says the mourning in Israel you haven't seen in thousands of years, the level of mourning, of weeping, of grief that will be experienced when Israel as a people nationally goes, this one we wrote off as the God of the Christians is actually the one who was sent to us. And we could have done it the easy way, but we refused him. Like there's a grief, and not only a grief, that grief is happening, if we look at Zechariah, in the context of murder and rape and pillaging and homes being burnt. And this isn't like flowery biblical language, like take October 7th. This is actually going to happen. But God's going, I'm going to get what I'm after from you. I'm going to have you as a people because I'm jealous for you. And you will recognize my son as the Messiah, as the Mashiach, as the anointed one you've been waiting for. But it's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
So right in the middle, like I have no way to sugarcoat that, right? Like That's where we are. So to minimize that in a Jewish, Christian, Zionist, or end times framework would, one, maybe cause you to be offended at what the Lord's going to do and how he's going to do it, but also is really alienating to a Jewish audience as we try to talk about the idea of Jesus not just being the savior of the world, but being the Messiah for Israel as well.
I think this is a really interesting moment for Christians, though, because as you described that you feel like this grief and this anticipation.
Right.
I think Christians are feeling that grief
right.
for probably the first time. Instead of saying, oh, yeah, all this stuff has to happen and then Jesus is coming back, like Christians are grappling and wrestling and saying,
right,
how do I feel about Israel and the Jewish people? And they are grieving over what's happening there. Mm-hmm. So I think there is some blinders coming off of the Jewish people aren't just pawns on a chessboard.
Totally.
But there's like some real grief happening here, which is an important moment in
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, I would ask our audience, if you're a Christian listening, rewind to the afternoon of October 7th or maybe October 8th. Okay, so now the headlines have hit. I would imagine in most cases, however you feel about the Israel-Palestinian conflict, however you liked or didn't like your trip to the Holy Land, whatever positive or messy or weird experiences you've had with Jewish believers or with the Jewish community in general, I would imagine there was something in your own experience to the effect of the Jewish people were just attacked because they're Jewish and they're in a bad way. They're in a vulnerable situation and their existence is being threatened. And I feel that at some gut level.
Yeah.
So my challenge to our Christian audience is, as we get into all the rhetoric and all the politicking and all the pro-Israel protests on one side of the street and the Free Palestine on the other, and the, well, maybe Israel deserved it, remember October 7th and look at the scriptures and say, are we making room in our hearts to be impacted at a heart level? Or, well, maybe better, not just the emotion of it, are we making room in our hearts to feel what Jesus feels, to feel what the Lord felt as he expressed it so many times in the Old Testament about the reality that God will get what he's after from Israel, but it's not going to be easy. In fact, it's going to be pretty horrific at times. But he's, in his mercy, in his wisdom, in his providence, only doing what's necessary to bring about his purposes on earth.
It's interesting. This isn't where I thought we were going with this episode, but
right.
it seems like Christians are so focused on where are we at in the end times, and really they should be focused on what you just said.
Yeah, I think, you know, like Jesus again says, when you see these things, right, he uses this image, and we're so detached from this because we don't live in farms, most of us, right, or orchards or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But he says, like, look at this fig tree. And you know that when you see the little buds come forward, you know that that's a sign that summer's almost here. And he's saying, when you see these things, right, nation rising against nation, earthquakes, rumors of war, know that the end times is right at the door. In essence, your great expectation is know that my return is right here. So hold fast. Don't give in to persecution. Don't give in to being shut up because you have something to say that involves absolute truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, take your stand. That's the rallying cry here. He says, when you see those things, you can understand the times and seasons, even though it also says no one knows the exact day or hour when he's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's in the Father's own authority. But I would say, even as we gear up for, yes, the Lord's coming back, when we see these things start to happen, like October 7th, like the war that's 120-something days and counting now on in Israel, right? Like a fight for Israel's existence. Understand the other things that have to happen in this Old Testament and New Testament alike period of time that most people just ignore or assume we know what we're talking about, called the Acharit HaYamim, the last days, and understand how Israel's involved as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I would propose to our audience, it's really a Genesis through Revelation idea, not a Matthew Revelation through Revelation idea, right? Back to this idea of an olive tree, right? So being grafted in as wild shoots, right? Like having no relationship with the God of Israel, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, grafted into this olive tree, right? Whose root is the faith of Abraham. You've been grafted in to the realities of the last days as presented from Genesis onward that are largely, I don't know, people go, well, primarily, secondarily, I don't have to say that. Let's just middle of the road, but to make a point here, that largely involve what God's up to with Jewish people, those living in the land of Israel and those scattered among the nations of the earth. And you as a Christian, as a Gentile follower of Jesus, the Jewish Messiah and the Savior of the world, have been grafted into the reality that the last days matter to you as well, right? Like Jesus is coming back. He's all of our Savior. Amen. But if it's primarily a Jewish idea about a Jewish Messiah in a Jewish resurrected body with scars on his arms from the sacrifice he made for us, coming back to rule and reign as the King of Israel and the Lord of Lords and King of the kingdoms of the earth from an actual city in the land of Israel called Jerusalem. If that's what it means by the last days, okay? And in your own thought, Israel has been a footnote or a non-issue in your understanding of what happens between now and Jesus' return, maybe you need to think again.
Yeah, I think that's a great challenge to our Christian listeners, that if you think about the end times as just an anticipation for Jesus to come back,
right?
Think about where it does Israel fit in that. And I think it's okay to grieve once you realize where Israel fits in that.
Sure.
Not just it's a check mark to move to the next place. But
right.
As you think about speaking to our Jewish audience mm-hmm. in this same topic, what would you say?
Yeah, I would say if you've relegated the idea of the last days to be, you know, something, I'm going to be obnoxious, something the Pope came up with, right? And what I mean by that, tongue in cheek, right?
Yeah.
Like a Christian idea, the last days is for the Christians. We have the Mashiach, we have the Messiah, one day he'll come, but the last days and all of that is for Christians. I would say, look at Jacob, look at our father, Jacob, look at our father, our Rabbi Moses, look at the prophets, look at our prophets and see what they had to say about the Acharit Hayamim. Because there's a lot in there.
Yeah.
There's a ton in there. And my question is, if the last days is a Jewish idea, and we believe in the Jewish scriptures, do we need to look again at something we've written off as belonging primarily to another religion? And what do the scriptures, what do the prophets have to say about who the Messiah would be, and how and when we would recognize him, and what does that have to do with that period of time that we're all waiting and praying for, the days of the Messiah, when things will be set right and wars will be at an end and the King of Israel will reign on a throne in Israel.
Yeah.
Because maybe we'll have to face some facts and look at some difficult things that we've never thought about or that we've written off to be belonging to someone else when they really belong to us first.
Yeah. Just as we close this episode, I just want to acknowledge that this is such a heavy topic.
Sure.
And it brings up so much emotion for both Christians and
right.
Jewish people that
right.
we're encouraging you to wrestle through it because
sure.
it's important to figure out where you stand
right.
and have conviction about it.
Right.
And if you know want to send in your questions or your thoughts, do that. We want to help answer them. That's the whole point of us doing this.
Yeah. And just one more thought as we close this episode, and we'll talk more about the idea of the last days. It's big. It's under discussed because people get weirded out or intimidated by it. So let's just leave it alone. I would say, if October 7th has confused you, has sidelined you in your faith, has caused you to be offended at God for whatever reason, either what happened with Israel, what's going on with the Arab and Palestinian peoples, I want to ask you to just make the courageous choice to re-engage with this as in the framework of Jesus told us things like this would be just the beginning of birth pangs between now and his return. If we can't deal with the birth pangs, we're not going to make it through the birth. So that's my challenge to a Jewish audience and to a Christian audience. Like, let this be a tutor for us, okay, in how to deal with, I mean, more is going to happen. There's going to be more challenges in Israel. There's going to be more nations rising against nation. There's going to be more wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and famines. It's only going to get worse. So if we panicked and we checked out with October 7th, let's check back in and maybe allow the Lord to work on us and to instill some things so that we can be better prepared for what is to come.
But at the same time, we're not alone. He knows
totally.
What's going to happen. So we should go to him as we're having these struggles and wrestling.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have to believe that he wants to help us. He wants to give us wisdom and discernment from his word so that we can be prepared. Right? Jesus is telling his followers all of these things so that they would be prepared. He's not waiting to catch us and say, gotcha, I knew you weren't ready. He's saying, no, I want you to know the times and the seasons.
Yep, that's a great encouragement.
Yeah.
If you benefited from what you heard today and want to benefit others, we support over 80 ministries in Israel right now.
And if you do feel led to give in a financial way, 100% of what you give through us goes to those ministries on the ground.
We've just committed an additional $1 million to partner ministries we stand with in Israel this year alone. So if you don't know where to give, we're able to take your gift and get it directly to our ministry partners in Israel. Please go to ajewandagentilediscuss.org to give today.
And if you want to hear more episodes, subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcast content. And we'd also love if you leave us a review and share this podcast with someone you know. And if you're not ready to become a supporter today, just let us know that you listen. You can go to our website, ajewandagentilediscuss.org, or click in the show notes for more information.
You can also follow us on social media at the handle ajewandagentilediscuss. And if there's anything you want us to discuss or have us answer, please submit your questions at our website, ajewandagentilediscuss.org. This is Carly and Ezra. Thanks for listening to A Jew and a Gentile Discuss. Join us next week for another episode. The show is a production of Jewish Voice Ministries International.